radio has changed our lives and possibly saved our lives.
This is P.K. Subban of the Nashville Predators.
This is Philip Forsberg of the Nashville Predators.
Hi, this is Pete Weber, the Nashville Predators. Welcome to Smashville.
Now, broadcasting live from high atop the WNSR Broadcasting Tower. And against all better judgment, it's time for Predneck Nation Radio.
Everybody loves the soldiers until they come home and stop fighting.
The Renegades of Puck are ready to take you on an all-skate around the NHL with all the news and updates you need.
Start playing with some jam in here. Let's go.
And now, here's your host and captain, Crazy Charlie Saulnier.
Everybody, it's time for another episode of Predneck Nation Radio. That's right, it's a Predneck takeover of Nashville Sports Radio. I'm your host and captain, Crazy Charlie Saulnier. Welcome in. Remember, you can always give us a like on Facebook, give us a follow on Twitter, and listen to this fantastic radio show right here live at 5 on game days, encore presentations at 6, and always available to you on SoundCloud and iTunes in an on-demand world because we know you are incredibly busy out there. It's a game day in Smashville, and the Nashville Predators will welcome in the original Sixes, Montreal Canadiens. The Preds have played 59 games on the season. They are 33-21-5. That's good for 71 points. They are currently 4 points behind the Winnipeg Jets for first in the Central Division. They sit 8 points ahead of the Dallas Stars. At home, the Preds are 18-11-1, currently on a 3-game losing streak. The second of two regular season meetings between these two teams. Montreal in town tonight. They've played 56 games. They are 31-18-7. They have 69 points, currently sitting 3 points behind the Boston Bruins for a guaranteed playoff spot in the Atlantic Division. On the road, a surprisingly good record at 14-8-3. In their last 10, they are 7-1-2. Mostly at home, they've had that success as of late. This will be their first game on the road in some time. On the 2nd of February, it was a 3-2 overtime loss versus New Jersey, then a 4-3 overtime win versus Edmonton the next day. On the 5th, a 4-1 win versus Anaheim, then a 5-2 win versus Winnipeg on the 7th. And on the 9th, their most recent game was a 4-3 overtime loss versus Toronto. They'll play again on Saturday in Tampa Bay. NHL ranks for Montreal. Their power play is 30th in the NHL. Their penalty kill is 20th. Goals for 13th at 3.04. Goals against is 10th, 2.89. And their most significant injury is Byron at center. He is on injured reserve. So a double-digit scorer out of the lineup for the Montreal Canadiens. Mika Silomaki, the only Nashville Predator on injured reserve at this time, back at practice and skating. No word on when his official return to the lineup will be, or if he will even be able to get on the ice. The season series between these two teams, they met once before. It was in Montreal on the 5th of January, and the Nashville Predators had a 4-1 victory. It was Craig Smith with 2 goals in the game. Ekholm and Arvidsson had a goal each. Shea Weber had Montreal's only goal in the game, and UC Saros got the start and went 27 of 28 for this Nashville Predators team. After facing off against Montreal tonight, that's the close of a homestand. Then Saturday night in Vegas, Tuesday night in Dallas for a quick 2-game road trip, and then back home to start of a 3-game road trip against LA, Colorado, and Edmonton, also opponents on that homestand. NHL ranks for this Nashville Predators team still the worst ranked power play in the NHL, 31st. Penalty kill is 11th. Goals for, they are 12th in the league at 3.07. Goals against, 4th in the league at 2.07. 5-9. When you look at Montreal Canadiens and their statistics, led by Max Domi after 56 games played, he has 17 goals and 32 assists. That's good for 49 points. Three of those are power play goals, seven of those power play assists. So out of 49 points, 10 of those points come on the power play. Jonathan Drouin also with 17 goals. He has 46 points. Thomas Tatar with 17 goals. And then Brendan Gallagher, 22 goals, leads the team. He only has 14 assists, though, 36 points. Got to watch out. Four of those goals are power play goals. Andrew Shaw with 12 goals. And Shea Weber, only 32 games played on the season, 21 points overall, three power play goals. And of course, you know, Montreal is going to try to feed him up the blue line when they get in power play situations. In goal for the Montreal Canadiens, Carey Price, 42 games played on the season, 23-13-5, a 2.55 goals against average, and a 9.15 save percentage. Antti Niemi, the backups, 8.5-2 with a 3.61 goals against and 8.93 save percentage. Those numbers, not very good. Nashville Predators, led by Ryan Johansson, as they have been for quite some time, and scoring now 41 assists on the season in 57 games played. He has 52 points, 13 power play assists on the season. Roman Josi, second on the team in scoring, 34 assists, 45 points. Matthias Ekholm with 40 points. And then Forsberg has 20 goals. Arvidsson has 25 goals. Craig Smith with 16. Bonino at 14. Sissons and Yarncroak 10 apiece. In net, Pekarinen has played 40 games this season. He's 19-15-3, a 2.5 goals against average and a 9.14 save percentage with three shutouts. That win-loss record is not exceptional. UC Saros, 24 games played this season, 14-6-2, a 2.59 goals against average and a 9.13 save percentage. That gets you all set up. We'll talk to Mastrodamus about all things that are going to happen tonight between the Preds and the Montreal Canadiens in the second period. We'll also talk to Felder about the same thing. Me, I'm your host and captain, Crazy Charlie Sonia. Welcome into Predneck Nation Radio. Let's take you back to the Preds versus the Detroit Red Wings the other night at Bridgestone Arena. Your lines, Forsberg, Johansson and Arvidsson, Fiala, Bonino and Smith, Boyle on the third line left wing with Sissons and Hartman, and then Grimaldi gets back into the lineup. Turris on the fourth line. Yarncroak fills out the last spot there. Josi and Ellis, Ekholm and Subban, Ham, Hughes and Weber with Pekarinen getting the start in net. 35 seconds into the game, Pekarinen has to make a save on Larkin from close range. It's his first touch of the game. Looks good early on. 2:21. Hartman backhand pass across the slot to Yannick Weber for a redirect, and Howard comes up with a big time save. His first big touch of the game. 3:24 into the first. Ekholm shot, glove down, easy by Howard. There was just no traffic in front of the net. 6:29. Forsberg cuts around the D, drives the net, forces Howard to make a huge diving save back across the crease. At 7:55, Pekarinen makes a big save on Athanasiou, partial breakaway. That guy has some wheels on him, and he just got right behind the D and gets a great scoring chance. Ekholm at 9:31 gets a shot, and Fiala gets a rebound attempt. Howard coming up strong. Preds, first 10 minutes of this game, just buzzing through the offensive zone and looking outstanding. Unfortunately, after the TV timeout, things start to slow down a little bit for the Preds, and Glendening gets Detroit on the board with his ninth of the season, giving the Wings a 1-0 lead. Forsberg tried to wrap it around the wall behind the net, and he ends up turning it over, and then the shot comes from out high, deflected perfectly by Glendening in front, and then barely off of the shoulder of Rene and into the net. Detroit with a 1-0 lead. 17-13, Nielsen's going to the box, 2 minutes for hooking. Boyle goes through the legs and gets a great scoring chance from the top of the crease, but he can't get it to go. But an excellent look right there. The Preds with some good zone time, and they get two shots on goal. It looked all right. Nashville at the end of the first period out shooting Detroit 19-9, but unfortunately down 1-0. We've hit 51 seconds of the second period. Larkin's going to the box, 2 minutes for holding. And then at 1:58, De La Rose is going to the box, 2 minutes for playing the puck with a broken stick. This gives the Predators an incredible opportunity. A 5-on-3 power play on home ice with 53 seconds. Two shots on goal. It was not nearly desperate enough. And you know what I'm talking about if you saw it. Just simply too casual. 5-on-3s are not guarantees, but they should look a lot more impressive than that one did. At 4-11, Turris is going to the box 2 minutes for slashing. Pekarinen has come up with a huge save on Larkin. Rebound attempt by Mantha, even more impressive with the blocker. And then Forsberg takes the puck and has a strong last 25 seconds of the PK, getting the Preds out of danger. At 6:27, PK Subban's off to the box. 2 minutes for delay of game, puck over the glass, and the Detroit Red Wings are making the Preds pay on this one as Larkin has his 24th of the season, putting the Wings up 2-0 in the second period. Larkin puts in the rebound at the side of the net after a wrist shot from the circle. No Preds defenders are able to pick up either the body or the rebound, and the Detroit Red Wings have a 2-goal lead now. Preds respond immediately. Victor Arvidsson, his 25th of the season. Of course it was Victor Arvidsson. Right at the 7:49 mark, Johansson's pass across the top of the slot to Arvidsson, and Victor Arvidsson just rips that slap shot far side, beating Howard. And we have seen Victor Arvidsson take this shot from this spot plenty of times before. When he first started putting the puck in the net with regularity in the NHL, you remember, he really liked shooting the puck off the rush from this spot. Excellent conversion by the Nashville Predators, cutting Detroit's lead to 2-1. 16:27, Abdelkader's in the box, 2 minutes for interference, and the Nashville Predators with another power play opportunity, this time feeding PK Subban for the one-timer, and this one is going into the net. His fifth of the season, the Preds tie the game up. Subban and Johansson with the give and go at the top of the zone, and PK takes the one-timer once Boyle gets all set with the screen. And once Boyle gets all set with that screen, it is a total eclipse of Jimmy Howard. He had absolutely no chance at seeing this one. Preds tie this game up, building absolutely buzzing at Bridgestone Arena. 18:39, Pekarinen comes up with a big save on Larkin's wrist shot from the slot as Detroit tries to respond. And then 19:33, Howard save on Smith, and the Preds get some jam at the net. We go to the end of the second period. DeKeyser gets called for a penalty right at the buzzer. 2 minutes for tripping, and they'll have the full 2 minutes to start the third period. End of the second period, tied at 2 apiece. Preds out shooting Detroit 29-16. Now for the Nashville Predators coming out in the third period, it's simple. Win a period on home ice, you win a hockey game. You start off with a power play, you generate 0 shots on goal, you get 0 pressure, and I guess that's because Coach McCarthy really gave them some tips during the intermission on how to be successful out there on the power play. After that power play is over, a little bit of back and forth before at 4:08, Athanasio's got his 18th of the season. It's a sharp angle backhand from the low circle. It never should have beaten Pekarinen. Pekarinen was in bad position, caught leaning, gives up the post, and give it credit to Athanasio. He put the puck towards the net, and it goes into the net, and Detroit very suddenly has a 3-2 lead at Bridgestone Arena, and it's like somebody just popped a balloon. It's 7:57. Colton Sissons gets a shot on net. It's the Preds' first shot of the third period. That's 7:57. At 9 minutes of the third period, Forsberg and Mantha each get 2 minutes, and it's a 4-on-4. Pekarinen has to come up with a huge save on Nyquist from a 2-on-1, and then Rene has to come up with a huge save on Larkin. Forsberg out of the box at 11:41, hits the post. This was a golden opportunity. 17:25, Arvidsson picks up a bad penalty for hooking as the Preds are trying to make a late push. DeKeyser gives the Preds one last opportunity as he gets a penalty for elbowing at 19:04. With the empty net, though, the Preds unable to generate enough pressure to convert a goal, and they fall on home ice 3-2 to the Detroit Red Wings, out shooting Detroit in this game 35-26. And unfortunately for the Nashville Predators, only picking up 1 of a potential 4 points against the Detroit Red Wings. By the way, I mention again, if the Red Wings were in the same division as the Nashville Predators, they would be in last place by 4 points. Unacceptable to be unable to pick up more than 1 point against this Detroit Red Wings team. You had an opportunity to win a period on home ice. Even with the power play, you got absolutely nothing done. It's completely unacceptable, and everybody is just about tired of it now, starting to lead to questions by parts of the fan base from every aspect, from the general manager down through the coaching to each and every one of the players. Just about everything is being questioned right now. For the Nashville Predators, flipping a switch is not as easy as it sounds. Tonight, Montreal is 7-1-2 in their last 10 games. They are just on the outside of the playoffs, looking to get themselves in. They are going to be hungry. They are going to be desperate. Are the Predators going to be able to answer any of that tonight? I do not know. We'll talk to Mastrodamus. We'll talk to Felder. We'll start to figure it out here on Predneck Nation Radio. I'm your host. I'm your captain, Crazy Charlie Saunier. You're listening to Predneck Nation Radio right here on Nashville Sports Radio.
Hi, this is Victor Arvidsson of the Nashville Predators. You're listening to Predneck Nation Radio.
Welcome back in Predneck Nation Radio. Victor Arvidsson bringing us back from break right there. 35 games played on the season, 25 goals. 33 total points. Would love to see him get some more power play goals, even though he's pretty much the only one scoring goals outside of Philip Forsberg right now. The Preds have become a one-line team. They've failed to play defense as of late, and their goaltending, which was bailing them out much earlier in the season, is not doing so as of late. I'm your host and captain, Crazy Charlie Sonny. Welcome back into Predneck Nation Radio. Here to talk to me about all things Predators hockey is the starting goaltender of Predneck Nation, and a man so far ahead in the future is going to tell you everything that's going to happen tonight at Bridgestone Arena on Twitter at GreekGoalie35. Of course, he is Mastrodamus. How you doing today, my friend?
Charlie, always a pleasure to talk to you about the Preds. How are you?
Doing outstanding. Of course, we saw Victor Arvidsson pick up another goal against Detroit. Now 25 goals on the season. He is simply dynamite out there since coming back from injury, leading the league in goals since the calendar year changed. And if he had played in every game this season, the pace he could be on is for somewhere around 65 goals. Let's start on a positive. Let's talk about Victor Arvidsson.
What more can you say about the guy? I mean, the energy he brings out there, and it's not, you know, typically you'll see guys out there that are energy guys, and they hit and they skate fast and they forecheck. They don't have the most offensive ability, though. They're those type of guys. Victor Arvidsson is that rare breed where every time he's on the ice, he's a threat to score, and there's a different energy in the building when he's out there. It's almost, I would say, a more talented Jordan Tutu. You know, we talked about the previous generation of Preds fans. Every time Tutu was on the ice, people were on notice. They were paying attention. They were on their feet waiting to see what he was going to do. Victor Arvidsson, in this aspect, is out there flying all over the ice, generating scoring chances by himself sometimes, skating 1-on-4, and he's scoring wraparound goals or just absolutely dancing around a defenseman to score a goal. He does it all, and it's really remarkable what he's brought to the table for the Nashville Predators.
121 shots on goal on the season, a 20.7 shooting percentage right now. Of course, that number is incredibly difficult to keep up, and you would expect it's going to slow down at any point, but Victor Arvidsson just continues game after game, being as hot as can be, keeping that first line going. Let's talk about some other things that aren't so great. Pekka Rinne in this game, 24 out of 27 against Detroit. The first goal, a perfect deflection in front by Glendening. Not much you can do about it. The second goal, a rebound at the side of the net. You would have liked a little more help from your defense and your penalty killers. However, that third goal, Mastrodamus, this one's completely on Pekka Rinne. He got caught leaning. He gave up the post, and a backhand shot from the low circle that never should have found its way into the back of the net finds its way in.
No doubt about it. And you saw his reaction right there. I mean, Pekka Rinne, we all know he's a class act. He's going to take all the blame for a loss, and he's going to shoulder all the praise for wins to his teammates. It's a bad goal. There's no doubt about it. You saw his reaction. The first goal, perfect deflection, no chance on it. He actually got a piece of it with his shoulder. The Preds really made Glendening look like Thomas Holmstrom out there. Every time he was on the ice, he's in front of Rinne. He got the one deflection. And on the third goal, with Athanasiou scoring on that backhand, there was Glendening in front of the net with nobody within 10 feet of him screening Rinne. That's why there was such a big rebound. If you go back about before Athanasiou gets that goal, he's standing in front of the net. Otherwise, that's an easy pickup for Rinne. He stops it and covers the puck. Not a problem. Glendening screening him. Rebound goes off to the side. And yes, Rinne absolutely caught cheating. You don't expect a guy skating away from the net from about 15, 20 feet away on a bad angle like that, the backhand one towards you. So, yes, he was caught a little bit anticipating what he was going to do and left a gaping hole in that short side, and that's how he got beat.
Follow up on Pekka Rinne. On the season, the overall record now, 19-15-3. That doesn't look quite so impressive for the reigning Vezina Trophy winner. Is there any concerns about Pekka Rinne's performance out there on the ice?
We've seen it throughout his career, really. Well, he'll go through about a month stretch where he's just not quite on par with what we're used to seeing. This season, I mean, early on, he was the reason the Preds were winning games. We talked about the hot start the Preds got off to. largely due to Pecorine's play, quite frankly, because Saros was being terrible early on, and Pecorine was carrying this team, and everybody was concerned. Well, when he's not stopping ridiculous shots from high-danger areas all the time, what's this team going to look like? Well, we're seeing that right now over the past month, what this team looks like when Pecorine is not playing absolutely out of his mind and standing on his head for his team. So his numbers obviously have declined. On top of that, of course, his win-loss record. But I don't think there's any concern about it. He's still playing well. He had a couple games where he wasn't so hot. You've seen Saros, because he's been hot, play a little bit more, which I'm fine with. I'm okay playing a hot goaltender to get you some victories, but I'm not terribly concerned about Rene. They haven't overworked him. Said before the season, I would expect Saros to get 30 to 35 starts. He's on pace to get about 30 starts this season.
And you see Saros' win-loss record 14-6-2. Because of that great month that he has had, certainly his numbers look a lot more impressive than where they were. Expecting Pecorine to have a bounce back, as I'm hoping most Predators players out there are going to have a bounce back. Now, Mastrodamus, there was a successful power play for the Preds the other night. They worked it around the zone quick. It was an umbrella. They were feeding PK Subban for the one-timer. It ended up working as Johansson. They play catch at the top of the zone right there, waiting for Boyle to get in front. Once Boyle totally eclipses the goaltender Howard, he lets the shot go into the net, no problem. Now, the power play, I want you to discuss what happened right there, but I want you to follow up with PK Subban did not seem to have his normal celebration, and it just seemed like the Predators overall, for having such a big power play goal, tying the game up, home ice, it seemed like there was just a little bit lacking of emotion.
Very, very reserved celebration. I mean, look, we've seen Subban throughout his career. He does this classic pose for his goals when he scores them. There was none of that. So that tells me he's not happy. There's stuff behind the scenes that we're not seeing. I mean, you never see that PK Subban. And the rest of the guys, too, they didn't seem all that excited either. I mean, the puck goes in, and you would think, like you said, it's a game-tying goal in the second period on home ice, a power play goal, the thing that everybody's been harping on all season long, how terrible it's been, and almost no reaction from it. So it makes me wonder what the deal is behind the scenes. And Subban mentioned it afterwards in his post-game interview that we're not communicating that well on the ice. Like, guys, this isn't a new team that's put together that you're not communicating. You've been with each other for the last two-plus seasons. You should be able to communicate in your own zone and be able to play decent defense, particularly with the talent that's out there.
This top four defensemen have been together for quite some time. They should certainly be able to communicate with each other out there in a much more efficient way than apparently PK Subban has led us to believe that they are able to do. Third period, Mastrodamus, you know that old cliche about hockey, win a period, win a game. You come into this thing after fighting back into it, down two, you tie it up at two, you earn that power play right at the end of the second period, a fresh sheet, 2 minutes, and you come out the opportunity, you get zero shots on goal. You go through the rest of the third period, you only get 6 total shots on goal on home ice against a 7th place team over in the Eastern Conference, would be a last place team in the Central Division. Mastrodamus, where in the hell was the jam, the emotion, the everything in the third period against the Wings the other night?
No killer instinct whatsoever. It's almost as if the power play goal kind of let them, we can breathe now, we got a power play goal, and they just stopped playing. We saw Detroit respond immediately after that and get a couple of nice scoring chances after the power play goal to try to retake the lead. Eventually, of course, they would, but the Preds, 3 shots on goal until about 3 minutes left in that third period. Are you freaking kidding me? I mean, really, you're on home ice against a bad team who's been playing poorly over their last few games. 3-game losing streak for Detroit. This isn't a case where, oh, Dallas had won 5 in a row before the Preds played them. St. Louis had won 4 in a row before the Preds played them. So, all right, they're a hot team. Things are going to go their way. And, you know, maybe you chalk it up to that. It's a bad team on a 3-game losing streak. It's inexcusable, particularly off the disappointment of Sunday afternoon's game, that you come out and have so little fire to try to go out there and beat Detroit. Detroit owned them the first time they played as well. So no revenge factor. Nothing was going on as far as I saw any emotions from the Predators to be able to take this game over. And when you're as talented as they are, and you can't take over a game like that against a bad team like Detroit, That's a major problem.
Mastrodamus, here we go again. A familiar storyline. Here's Montreal sitting in fourth in the Atlantic, fighting for their playoff lives here in the last quarter of the season. They're surprisingly good on the road at 14-8-3. They're hot in their last 10 at 7-1-2. And the Preds have had difficulties against teams that are desperate and fighting for their playoff lives, teams that seem to just want it more than Nashville. So tonight sets up for another potential very bad scenario for the Nashville Predators.
Montreal has been a very surprisingly good team this season. I mean, they're in a playoff spot right now. I don't think that's going to change. I think they're pretty much locked in. 7-1-2 in their last 10 games. So you have a hot team coming in. So, yeah, things don't play out that well, but we've said it all year. Do the Preds play up to their competition and play down to their competition? Montreal, no pushover. Carey Price in net. Obviously, Shea Weber coming into town for the first time this season. It's going to be interesting to see how they react to it, but I would hope that Peter Laviolette does not get out-coached in this game. When you're on home ice and you have last change, you need to do something about that. And maybe, you know what, split up the line. I love seeing the Joffe line out there, but quite frankly, every single time anybody else is out there, you don't expect a goal. You don't expect anything. You expect bad things to happen, except when the Joffe line's out there. So,
Mastrodamus, it's the second of two regular season meetings between these two teams. The last time the Preds beat Montreal 4-1 in Montreal. You mentioned it. Shea Weber scored a goal against the Preds. UC Saros got the start that night. He was 27 of 28. Goal scorers for the Nashville Predators, Craig Smith with two of them, Ekholm and Arvidsson with a goal each in that game. For the Nashville Predators, they have to come out and put on a full 60 tonight. They have to put in a good effort because there are a lot of frustrations, there are a lot of questions being raised, and there are people starting to talk about each and every part of the franchise. They need a win tonight just so everybody can take a deep breath and they can start focusing more on what's to come. So, Mastrodamus, I look forward to talking to you on Saturday. The Preds will be off to Las Vegas. Always a difficult building to go into, and a Saturday night in Vegas ought to be a hot night for the NHL. Ought to be fun. So, hopefully we're recapping a victory over Montreal. So I will talk to you on Saturday morning, my friend.
Charlie, my pleasure. Let's do it again then.
On Twitter, at GreekGoalie35, he is a man so far ahead in the future. He's told you everything that's going to happen tonight at Bridgestone Arena. He is, of course, Mastrodamus. You can hear him all season long right here on Predneck Nation Radio in the second period. In the third period of Predneck Nation Radio, you can hear the OG of hockey coverage here on Nashville Sports Radio, all the way back to Hockey Buzz Radio. He is, of course, Brandon Felder. He is up next in the third period. Me, I'm your host and your captain, Crazy Charlie Sarnay. You're listening to Predneck Nation Radio right here on Nashville Sports Radio.
Welcome to Smashville. This is PK Subban of the Nashville Predators. Keep listening to Predneck Nation Radio or you will be body checked.
Welcome back in Predneck Nation Radio. I'm your host and captain, Crazy Charlie Saunier. PK Subban bringing us back from break right there. Picks up his fifth goal of the season the other night against the Detroit Red Wings. Now 20 points on the season. That was his first power play goal of the season. It was a one-timer from straight on with Boyle set up, setting the eclipse in front on Howard. Here to talk to me about all things Nashville Predators hockey. He is, of course, the OG of Nashville Predators hockey coverage here on Nashville Sports Radio on Twitter at Brandon_Felder. A fantastic follow and always a great hockey conversation. He is Brandon Felder.
I'm always excited when it's a Montreal-Nashville game day.
Let's just start where we always have to, the obligatory. We see Shea Weber, the former Nashville Predators captain, coming back to town tonight to visit Nashville. And P.K. Subban, of course, has been with the Nashville Predators. A one-for-one trade, not necessarily about the on-ice play, perhaps more about the personalities, as Shea Weber clearly fits in Montreal with the hockey player that they want. He doesn't like to talk to the media. He keeps it quiet. He goes out there on the ice and he does his job. And we all know about P.K. Subban. He may be a little over-marketed by NBC right now, but a large personality in a city driven by massive personalities and an entertainment first city.
I still think in the end we won't have an official like winner or loser, so to speak, till we see how each player finishes their career. But I still think at the moment Nashville has the edge, and part of that is just unfortunately for Shea Weber that he's just had so many injuries over the years lately. So as it stands, I mean, I think both teams are happy with it. I think Montreal fans, there's still plenty of them that love Subban and miss him and would have preferred to have him, but there's also a ton of them that at this point really know, okay, Shea Weber is exactly what Mark Bergevin wanted to bring over. And obviously with him being the captain there now, I mean, he's was exactly what they wanted in terms of fitting the bill and being able to provide that stability that they wanted inside the locker room. And I guess maybe that quiet, strong presence, so to speak. And so I think at the end of the day, right, it's lessened the blow over the past couple of years that everybody thought it was just so one-sided. And it started to be more of what Nashville fans are saying of, well, it's not so one-sided that, you know, Montreal got a great player. It's not like he's some slouch or something and that they got fleeced. But in the end, still, I still think right now it edges to Nashville, but we'll see how it pans out, rather, over the next 3 years or so.
Shea Weber, who is now the captain of the Montreal Canadiens, has skated in 32 games since coming back from injury. 9 goals, 12 assists. That's good for 21 points. 3 of those goals on the power play. And, of course, you know if Montreal has the opportunity, they're going to look to set him up for that massive one-timer that he has from out there on the blue line. We saw Ryan Johansson out there on the ice again. Another 2 assists in this game. It was a tough night overall on faceoffs. 3-14. That is very uncharacteristic for his play out there on the ice. It's been solid all season long, but those 2 more assists now puts him at 41 assists on the season, 52 points overall. And I think this might surprise a couple of people, but 13 power play assists on the season. So if there's one player that's actually converted and done good on the power play this season, it's Ryan Johansson.
When all is said and done at the end of this season, we're going to look back on it and say that Ryan Johansson was the MVP because he was there throughout the injuries and he was still helping to produce points for his team. He's there, obviously, when the top line is together, and he helps produce goals for Arvidsson, who's having a career year in goal scoring, for Forsberg. And this is a player that the only critique that we have, and we've had it for years now, is that we'd love to see him shoot more because he does have a nice shot. But at the end of the day, I mean, he is doing exactly what he wants to do, and that's be the playmaker, set up players, make things happen for his team. And, you know, at the end of the day, I think it's a player that he's not as flashy as, say, a Subban or Forsberg, or, you know, I wouldn't call Arvidsson flashy, but I would call his play very noticeable because of his work ethic, and some of his goal scoring is flashy with his moves that he pulls off to try and get to them. So, but Johansson is just that quiet workhorse, and yeah, probably wasn't a great face-off night for him, but we know one thing's for sure, is he'll continue to work at it, and, you know, he's not apparently shy to talk about face-offs if things weren't fair or things of that nature, as we saw against Dallas. And so, you know, Johansson is a player that I think Nashville has grown to really love and accept. And at the time of the trade, you know, thinking that letting go of Seth Jones was a bit tough for some Pred fans, but plenty of us were super excited to just get a number one center. I think he is fully rounded out and matured into a number one center.
We got to see Rocco Grimaldi get back into the lineup the other night for Cody McLeod, and you've got to say Rocco Grimaldi's minutes out there on the ice, 950 total time in a speed game, much more impressive out there than anything Cody McLeod could have brought to the lineup. It was good to see Rocco back out on the ice.
To me, you want that kind of a player in your lineup just because, kind of like when Arvidsson had, before he had his breakout year, he had a year where he missed a lot of chances, and it just was like, man, if this guy can work on a shot, he's going to bury so many pucks. And Rocco's kind of the same way in that, you know, he's got that work ethic. He's really trying out there. He's doing what you need. He can energize a team with his effort and really get the players to spark up and see, hey, let's keep going here. Let's get our work ethic going just like we see this guy is. And, I mean, he just, to me, he brings 10 times more than what a Cody McLeod can bring. I just, you know, at the time of the trades, I understood the Brian Boyle move. I thought, okay, I get that. I can see where he can pitch in on the third or fourth line, and he can definitely create some screens and some net, you know, net front traffic for power play, and he's already started to do that. But I was just dumbfounded by the Cody McLeod trade. Like, I had no concept of why you would need that player back. And then there was all the stories of the locker room and the guys really love him. And that's great and all, but golly, I mean, if you're winning games, I think your locker room does just fine. But if you're scuffling and you're just suddenly, you know, mediocre after an incredible start to the season, I don't know that a locker room guy and presence is going to suddenly turn your team around like work ethic does, and being able to, you know, have effective special teams can help you do that. But it was such a baffling move, and then you even gave up a draft pick for it, and I don't know. It's one of the few moves in the last few years that I just truly, truly am puzzled by, and I don't often critique David Poile, but I just felt like this one was a misstep.
As we head towards the trading deadline, the Nashville Predators did not give David Poile or anyone a lot of confidence with that third period the other night against a team that would have been last place in the Central Division. If you don't mind, vent a little bit about what you saw in the third.
Well, I mean, plenty of people who've listened to me know, like, for me, you have to get at least, especially with this team, at least 10 shots on goal any period. It doesn't matter if it's first, second, or third period. You've got to get at least 10 shots on goal in a period to effectively have a chance to score at least one goal in that period. And the Predators, I mean, at a certain point, you're 8 minutes into it and you've had two. And that's just, it's unacceptable. And like you said, it doesn't feel like they have that desperation or that drive. And I'll be honest with everybody, like, this team in general here in the last few months, it doesn't seem like they've got it. And by it, I just mean those intangibles, that killer instinct or that willingness to go to the hard areas, do the dirty work, do the things that are necessary. And I just feel like it's a team that's trying to coast to the playoffs and then really, quote unquote, turn it on. And I'm worried that there's too many bad habits and that they're not going to be able to fully turn it on. I mean, at the end of the day, like, there's going to be a time that you're going to need a power play goal. And there's nothing more defeating and deflating than knowing, more likely than not, 98% of the time, we're not getting this power play goal. And so there's all these little things on the side that, you know, I heard somebody mention the other day that, you know, well, actually, if you look at their record in the last 15 games, you'd be surprised. And I get it. It's not about the actual win-loss record, though. It's about what this team produces on a night-in, night-out basis and what you can see from them. They're leaking goals, Charlie. Nobody's talking about this. It's not only goaltenders, by the way. The defense in general is leaking goals, the team defense. The last time that they had only one goal against was February 1st against Florida. But then the last time that the Predators had a shutout was way back when they played Toronto after they had just beat Montreal 4-1, which was coincidentally the other last time they scored had one goal against. So the team defense overall is just not there for me right now. I don't understand it when you have this great of a top four of defense, why it is the way that it is currently. So I just think they need to go back to that style of play that they found as the injuries first hit, where they were a little bit more defensive natured and they kind of almost try to do more counterattack than just bombing away in the offensive zone, because the amount of odd man rushes, the amount of goals that are being scored as players just skate past a defender that doesn't body up, it's gotten to a point where it's really hard to watch and not expect, hey, this team's going to let at least two, maybe three goals against tonight, so hopefully the offense scores enough. But as we know currently, really it's just hopefully the top line scores enough to make things work.
Trends for the season that will not make you successful: loose defense around your own net when rebounds are easily gotten to by the opponent, giving up a number of odd man rushes each and every game, and also having the worst ranked power play in the entire NHL. These are all things that will lead to your team ultimately failing when it comes to playing against the best teams in the NHL. Brandon, one final comment from you. Central Division, we haven't touched on it in a while. Winnipeg's at 57 games played. They have 75 points right now. 4 points clear of Nashville for second place. They are 12 points clear of third place Dallas. I mean, at home, 21-6-3. So no problems for Winnipeg. And they're looking to lock up that home ice advantage. We all know the Preds in second. Dallas is at 63, but their spot is nowhere near safe, as St. Louis has won 7 in a row and now only 2 points behind with one less game played. Minnesota's still hovering, but injuries might have them falling out of it. Colorado has just absolutely tanked, losing 8 in a row and just going from a potential Central Division competitor to barely being involved in anything this season. They are just barely above the Blackhawks right now. So the Central Division, as you see it, with just about 25 games to go.
Actually, you know, if you look at it this year, the Central Division is one of the weaker divisions from everything we've seen. You know, Minnesota, like you said, not only injuries, just their particular style of play lately has been really bad. They look like they could fall out of it completely. And so it's kind of a two-horse race with Winnipeg and Nashville. And right now it just feels like Winnipeg at least is going to have enough of a drive to get their Central Division crown this year. But there is still time. Like, we do forget we're mid-February. There's still plenty of time to make things happen. David Poile could pull off a trade here in the next week or so. And so, as it stands, you know, I think the Central Division in general, as the Predators play against Central Division opponents, when they get back to that slate of the schedule, they've got to start winning those games big time. Like, those have got to be the games that they bury the opponent, because as it is right now, they're the lesser quality opponents, unfortunately. So it's going to be an interesting stretch drive here. Predators have got to get through these games against non-central opponents and start producing some wins against Eastern teams, because those are where the free points are at, because you're just trying to feast on the other conference and it's just kind of like bonus cushion points for you. So hopefully tonight the Predators can make things happen. Montreal, they're not a terrible team anymore like they were the past couple seasons, and a lot of that has to do with once Shea Weber came back from injury. And so it's going to be an interesting test tonight. I know that the Predators beat them 4-1 last time in Montreal, but if the Predators are going to do anything tonight, they've got to get some depth scoring from not just the first line, and they've got to play some better overall team defense, in my opinion. And if they do that, then I think it's going to be a really interesting night in Nashville.
After tonight's Eastern Conference opponent, in the next five, the Preds will play 3 against Pacific Division teams and 2 against Central Division teams at Dallas versus Colorado are those Central games. Tonight for the Division, Dallas is at Tampa, Colorado is at Winnipeg, New Jersey is at Chicago, St. Louis is at Arizona. That wraps up your Central Division summary for right now, and Brandon is right. One of the weaker divisions in hockey after last year easily being the strongest division. If you need the comparison, look at the Atlantic. Number 1, 88 points. Number 1 in the Central, 75 points. Quite a difference right there between Tampa and Winnipeg. He's here on this show all season long in the third period of Predneck Nation Radio and on Twitter at Brandon_Felder, the OG of hockey coverage here on Nashville Sports Radio. He is, of course, Brandon Felder, and we have had a fantastic hockey conversation this morning. Brandon, thank you so much.
Thank you, Charlie. Everybody enjoy your Valentine's Day. And for me, I always love it when it's a game against Montreal, a team with so much history and so much just wonderful franchise that it's been over the many, many years of hockey. And so I'm really going to enjoy tonight no matter what happens. But hopefully we get to see this team really wake up and try and turn the page a little bit here and get things really going before we hit the really full stretch drive of March.
Brandon Felder right there. Mostradamus in the second period. The Renegades of Puck all in the trench this morning, going a full 60 and going all the hard areas and talking all things Nashville Predators hockey. Happy Valentine's Day on a game day in Smashville. Hope everybody has a fantastic night out there at the rink, and the Nashville Predators find some guts. They find some jam. They get on out there and they get something done on home ice tonight. Give the home crowd a chance to take a deep breath and have a little bit of fun at the rink. Been too stressful as of late. How about this? Some power play goals. A margin of victory more than one. A shine game for the goaltender. The defense looking good. Some emotional and physical buy-in. These are the things the Nashville Predators need to do tonight against Montreal Canadiens. It's an Eastern Conference opponent. Go out there and just let it all go, fellas. Let it all go on the ice. Each and every shift is your last shift tonight. Give me a hard 30-45, go out there, knock somebody on their ass, and win a hockey game. Thanks for listening to Predneck Nation Radio right here on Nashville Sports Radio. I'm your host and captain, Crazy Charlie Sonnier.